Welcome to the home of 100 to 1 Faith Radio. My name is Larry Jant, and this is the place for stories of miraculous faith in the face of impossible odds. It's Thanksgiving time here at Grace United Methodist Church, and our scripture today will be a famous story of someone giving thanks to Jesus. The text is Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I heard this sermon more times than I can count. Every year at Thanksgiving time, they would bring it out. "Where are the 9? Where are the 9? Were not 10 healed? Then where, oh, where are the 9? It was always a sermon they would preach, pointing at all the empty pews in the church. "All of these people have been blessed, but so few have come. Why have so few come when Christ has been so good to so many?" Well, and you can't argue with it, can you? Because it's true. Christ has been so good to us, and we are oftentimes like spoiled children crying over a boo-boo or over something we didn't get, or because we're trying to tell God what God ought to do to run the universe, and God doesn't seem to be taking our counsel. Yeah, we've got lots of reasons that we get upset and fuss to God, and we seldom take time to give thanks for all that God has blessed us with. Just sheerly by being born in this particular hemisphere and in this particular time, we are less likely to catch a fatal disease than any people in history. We are more likely to go to bed with our bellies filled and in safety at night than any other people in history. We all ought to give thanks for everything Christ has done for us, because he's done exceedingly beyond what we could ever hope or dream. And yet we do all find reason to find fault with God himself and to fuss at our lot in life. But somehow this sermon still always felt like kind of a cheap shot to me. Like, why are we counting the people who are not here? And why are we judging them? We don't know what reason they have for being another place. We don't know what it is that they might need the most right now. So why are we angry about the ones we don't have instead of rejoicing in the ones we do have? Actually, come to think of it, isn't that exactly what that sermon is accusing other people of doing, overlooking blessings? Shouldn't we be giving thanks for the people who are in the pews instead of fussing about the ones who are not? Shouldn't we be giving thanks about the one who comes back to kneel at Jesus' feet instead of fussing about the nine who went on down the road? Fact is, I think 1 in 10 is a pretty good ratio, don't you? If I pause to stop and thank God one time out of every 10 times in a day that I get blessed, I would never have time for anything else. It's always a good habit to get into, to thank God for the things that we do have and trust God for the things we don't. We call that thanksgiving. In fact, we might even call it thanksgiving. You see, these 10 people came to Jesus and they stood far off because that was the law. They believed in that day and time that people who were infected could infect others. They didn't know how. They didn't know about germs. They just knew that somehow infections went from one person to another. And so if you caught a deadly infection in those days, they put you out away from everybody else, and you were supposed to call out as you walked, unclean, unclean, unclean. And nobody, not even those who loved you the most, were supposed to be near you. Have you ever felt like that was your lot in life? Have you ever felt like you were some kind of a leper, that even the people who were supposed to be closest to you stood far off in horror sometimes at all the ways that something terrible had come over you? Have you ever felt like it was just your lot in life to wander around letting everybody stand off at a distance and judge you as not being as good as anyone else? Well, that really was what happened to lepers in Jesus' day. And Jesus saw them coming, these 10 lepers who were never supposed to touch him. They really weren't even supposed to try to talk to him. They were supposed to call out kind of like a human train whistle to warn people that they were coming so that people could give them a wide berth and avoid catching what that person had. You know, it was a primitive way of dealing with illness. It was a primitive way of dealing with infection. But it was effective. And sometimes I wonder how many people we encounter every day, every week, that we kind of steer clear of for fear that we might catch something from them too. Jesus was different. Jesus wasn't scared of his love being overcome by their problem. Jesus wasn't scared of his holiness being overcome by their uncleanness. Jesus wasn't scared to touch those who needed it most. But even he didn't touch these 10 lepers. He told them, "Go your way, go to the priest, and have him examine you." And as they obeyed Jesus, they were made clean. Listen here. There are times when you have to walk by faith and not by sight. And I'll tell you the truth. If I was one of those lepers and Jesus told me to go on my way and go to the priest, I would never have even noticed that I had been healed because I'd have been fussing so hard. Would you have been fussing? "Oh, that Jesus, he didn't even bother to touch me, didn't bother to look at me, didn't want me to get close. He's the same as all the rest of them. He's just the same as everybody else. He just sent me on his way, and I can't even be bothering him. Well, why should I go and do what he says to do when I don't see any evidence I am healed at all?" I don't know if they went fussing or not. It would have been human nature for them to do so. But I do know that as they went, they were healed. And I know that's how it works in my life. That's how it works in your life. Sometimes, even when you don't understand why, when you do as Christ calls you to do, you are healed from the inside out in ways you cannot explain. I'm sure they went running at that point, running to the priest, because you see, they had been cast out of the community by a priest who said they were unclean and infected. And the only one who could tell them that it was safe to come back home was a priest. Who knows how many times someone's mama had lit a candle for them in the evening and prayed for them. Who knows how many times somebody's spouse had prayed that the day would come when this miracle might take place. Well, that day was finally here, but before they could go back home, they had to have the priest look at them and say, "You have been made whole. You are now clean. It's time for you to come home." All except this one. You see, this one wasn't Jewish. This one had no home to which he could go. This one had no priest who could pronounce him clean. This one had nothing to turn to except Jesus. He came back because there was nowhere else he could go. The others went on because they were actually obeying Jesus to do what they did. They actually followed his command. He wasn't fussing because they didn't come back. He was celebrating because there was one who realized that at the end of the day, in his hour of greatest need, he had nowhere to turn but Jesus. He had nobody he could trust but Jesus. He had nobody he could call upon but Jesus. He had no one who could pronounce him clean but Jesus. He had nobody who could say that he was not infected, not unsafe, not stained by sin any longer but Jesus. And there was only one who could say, "It's time for you to come home." And that one was Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In this time of thanksgiving, in this season of thanksgiving, there are many of us who will be going home. And there are many more who wish they could. The circle is broken, and there are empty places around the table. And they can go back to the house, but they can never again go home. There are others who feel that they have destroyed all of their family relationships in such a powerful way. It's as if they have a deathly infection that no one can clear up. Nobody wants to get close to them. Nobody wants to touch them for fear that that sin stain will rub off on them. There are many who fear that the family circle has been broken into so many fragments that it will never be whole again. And they'll never be welcome. They'll never be able to go back home. But I want you to know that there is only one you can turn to. There is only one you can trust. There is only one who can say, "Come home, daughter. Come home, my son. It's time to come home." There are so many who have been blessed, but there are a few of us who know that when the Thanksgiving Day has come, it's not time to turn to turkey. It's not time to turn to football. It's time to turn to Jesus, because he's the only one who can say, "You can come home now. You can come home." Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Jesus Christ, who makes us whole and brings us home.